Father, I thank you again this morning. The goodness and the mercy of the Lord is with us. We look on the left, we see your goodness. We look on the right, we see your mercy following us. And we are so thankful. We thank you because the word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And indeed, the entrance of that word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even this morning, Lord, cause that light to shine into our hearts, that we may spiritually hear and understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, this is part two of the 2025 Prophetic Repairs series. Prophetic repairs. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is doing and communicating with us for what's going on in the spiritual realm for this year. We got to tap into it. So a quick summary or recap of yesterday. The repairs actually turned out to be, after the Lord spoke it, to me, it turned out to be actually an acronym. I said, oh, and for each one of those letters, it depicts something. And we covered a couple of them yesterday. The first two, repairs, spelled R-E-P-A-I-R-S. So, the first R, we covered it yesterday, stands for release. Amen. And so, we declare prophetically by the word of the Lord that 2025 will be a year of release. Things that have been held up and obstructed will be released. The Lord is opening the gates for us to get in. Hallelujah. Or pass through. Then we also covered the second one, the letter E for expansion. Hallelujah. Could also be called enlargement, but expansion. And again, this will be the year of expansion or exponential growth. Year to gain new territories. Hallelujah. We gave a lot of scriptures and said a few things about each of these declarations. Today, I'm going to move on to the letter P. And if I can cover that, and perhaps the letter A. We'll see what we can cover today. P is going to stand for, maybe for a number of things, but I want to call out the year of possession. That's right. Year of possession. Now, here is the declaration under the letter P. This year, 2025, you will come into your own or begin to come into your own, and the devourer will not be able to dispossess you from the inheritance of the Lord. You heard that. So let me say that to you again. In this new year, 2025, the Lord will bring you into your own. You begin to come into your own. And the devourer or the enemy or the destroyer or the thief. Remember, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Well, he will not be able to dispossess you anymore from the inheritance of the Lord. Everything, glory to God, that God has given you that you have not yet obtained, you will begin to take possession of such in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's talk about that. You know, under, you know, the letter P, possession? Well, first of all, we must understand that God himself is a possessor of heaven and earth. I mean, he owns everything. There's nothing that was made that he didn't make it. There's nothing that exists that he didn't put it out there. I mean, he basically, he owns everything. And I'm going to read to you here in the book of Genesis chapter 14. There was an encounter between Abraham and this shadowy, mysterious figure called Melchizedek. You know, at the time, we didn't know very much about Melchizedek until we read it in Hebrews chapter 7. But in this place, in Genesis 14, it's Melchizedek. Here's where we are told, what we're told about him. In the book of Genesis 14, we know that Abraham had gone, you know, after some things, you know, some things happened. It's an interesting story, actually. You know, some things happened and Abraham is going to go and, you know, get recovery and, you know, some goods and various things and even his, nephew were captured and so forth. And Abraham was going to go after them, get back everything. So when Abraham had heard that his brother was taken captive, this is Genesis 14 and 14, he armed his trained servants, those born in his house, 318 of them, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night and smote them. People didn't know that Abraham was also a man of war. You know, and he smote them, pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. That's right. And also brought back his brother Lot, everything that was captured, his goods, his women, and all the people, brought them back. He regained possession of all that the enemy had taken from him. Well, that's the first time we saw something like that in the Bible, you know. And would you know that Abraham was right in the middle of that drama? The only thing we think of when we think of Abraham is, father of faith, this and that. We forget that he was a man of war also. You take something from him, it's going to go after you and get it, you know. So his brother, son, Lot, had been captured, and he was going to go after the captors and recover alive his brother, the women, the goods and properties and everything that was stolen from him. Anyway, that's the backdrop of this story, you know. And it came to pass, you know, that thereafter the king of Sodom went out, met him after the return of the slaughter of Chal-dor-lamar and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek. Now, you know, all of a sudden, this is the first time we're hearing of this Melchizedek. And it's like a mysterious figure. We don't really know who he is at this point. But they were told that he's the king of Salem, who brought forth wine and bread. Now, this is the first mention of communion. And the law of first mention is shown here. You know, we see the priest. So someone that stands in the place of priesthood, bring in the wine and the bread, or the bread and the wine. And then someone else You know, so there's got to be at least two people there. And then he brought it. Well, they didn't go into too much detail of what he did with it, but we're sure it was communion. I mean, they ate together. And now there's a declaration that he would make. See, so he blessed Abraham. And this Melchizedek figure blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God." Now, this is an introduction of God being the possessor of heaven and earth. This is actually where I'm going. Melchizedek referred to God, the Most High God, as the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, so when we're talking about possession, in the realm or domain of God, which is heaven and earth, actually heaven here means the heavens. You know, everywhere but the earth is what heaven here means. You know, when you see this heaven and earth phrase, it actually means the earth and everywhere else. You know, so, you know, now, if God is the possessor of heaven and earth, well, he has the ability to give to whomsoever he wants any part of his possession. So that's the first thing that we want to declare and understand. And so, you know, after he had blessed Abraham, well, Abraham also gave him tithes of all. You can read that in the next verse 20. He gave Melchizedek tithes. Now, this is the first mention of tithing also. There is no law that we know at this point in time. The law is still hundreds of years after this. You know, but Abraham gave tithes. How did he know to give tithes to Melchizedek? Or by revelation. So according to the law of first mention, we see that tithing for us should also be by revelation, not by commandment. You know, well, later on, tithing was made a commandment. But before that, it was first revelation. Abraham gave tithes. Isaac and the rest of them gave tithes. Way before the law. They tithed 10% of everything they had. Who told them that? Well, revelation. Praise the Lord. You know, so for those that say, well, you know, tithing was under the law and so on and so forth, we don't need to tithe again. Well, think again. These people gave tithes before the law. So it could not have been the law, and the law could not remove it. The eradication of the law, the fulfillment of the law in Christ could not remove this either, because this was way before the law. All right. So, but that's not my subject today. But let's move on. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abraham said to king of Sodom, "I will lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth." So now Abraham understands, because Melchizedek had told him, that God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And he's going to declare the same thing. "And I will not take a thread, not even a shoelace, or anything will I not take." You know, and he gave it. And Abraham and so forth, you know, said, well, unless if I do that, you will say you've made Abraham rich. But Abraham, he said, "I'm trusting the Lord. I'm going to take the young man and the portion of the man which went with me," and so forth. "Let them take their portion. You can have everything else." But in this story, we learn the revelation that God is possessor of heaven and earth. We would later learn, if you read Hebrews chapter 7, of who this Melchizedek was. In Hebrews chapter 7, we learned that Melchizedek was more than just a shadowy figure. But it was, there was a revelation given about him. And let me just read one or two things said about Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, Hebrews chapter 7, King of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, that's the story we read, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, that's tithes, being first by interpretation, king of righteousness, that's the meaning of the, Melchizedek, and after that he's also king of Salem, or king of Shalom, which is king of peace. Now, look at the description of this Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, well, there's only one mother person that we see in the Bible, like that, like Adam, but this wasn't Adam. Without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. So this Melchizedek, was a figure of the Son of God appearing to Abraham. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. And they looked at him and said, you must be crazy. You're not even 50 years old yet. How could you possibly have seen Abraham? Well, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, glory to God. So we see that in the figure of Melchizedek, God in theophany, in Christ, in Jesus, the Son of God, appearing suddenly to Abraham. Now, isn't that wonderful? And Jesus referred to it later on too. Now, that's about Melchizedek. And this Melchizedek knew what he was talking about. He did actually call God the possessor of heaven and earth. After which Abraham himself got a revelation and repeated the same thing. And then said, well, God himself is possessor of heaven and earth. Now that we have established that God is the possessor of heaven and earth, everything in his domain, he owns. And he can choose to give to whomsoever he wills. In the beginning, he chose to put Adam in charge of everything. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we're told that God blessed them and told them to have dominion, to be in charge. He gave them that benediction. He gave them that authority as well. And he put them in charge. And he said, look, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. When you have dominion, you can do anything you want. You can take off the fish you want, do whatever you want with it. You can take off the fowl and do whatever you want with it. You can take off every living thing that moves on the earth, do whatever you want with it. In fact, I've given you every herb bearing seed. God basically gave him everything. I've given you all this stuff. I've given it to you. You do whatever you want. Praise the Lord. So now, unfortunately, as you know the rest of the story, all of that was lost. But, when we're talking about possession here, it could be anything. It's actually repossession, but it could be anything that God has already given us that we lost, either through disobedience, hardness of heart, unbelief, sin, whatever, or the devil come in and take it, whatever it is, God wants us to get it back. And you begin, he will position you, that's another thing that the P can mean. It can position, it will position you to be able to start regaining your possessions. Let's look at some scriptures where God gave them instruction. That's right. Instruction to go in and get, take possession of different things. And God said, look, in Genesis chapter 22, and verse 17, we see him talking to Abraham again, in a way, but let's read it. There's a blessing, a secret blessing that was given through some of the seeds of Abraham. You know, Genesis chapter 22, and let's read verse 17. Now, something happened in this story. We have covered it before, where, you know, Abraham was tested to give up Isaac and offer him up on the altar and so on. And we've seen how actually he did pass the test. So we thank God that we have read that before. Now, but let's read what happened closely, more closely, the blessing that came after the testing on the altar. Remember the message, the promise, the altar, and the blessing. Now, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time in verse 15, and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So we see now God making this declaration of possessing, you know, not only your own place, but expanding, possessing the gates of your enemies. Because the Lord will give your enemies into your hands. And other territories that we must expand, we covered expansion yesterday. And today, you know, all of these things work together. They're interlocked. Every one of these declarations, they're interlocked. And God said, you possess the gate of your enemies. Hallelujah. In 2025, I pray that you will possess the gates, even of your enemies. Now, as I said yesterday, as we begin to make these declarations, and as I give the lesson and the scriptures, consider them also prophetic prayers or prophetic declaration. And you can agree, come in agreement by saying amen to it. Praise the Lord. If I say anything that resonates with you, you can put your agreement in the chat room. Praise the Lord. So we see that Abraham and his seed will possess the gate of their enemies. Well, let's talk about some of these times that God actually did give the children of Israel instruction to go in and possess. We all know the story of how they came out of Egypt, so I won't go into that. But let's read a few things. You've also heard the stories in Numbers 13 and 14 a few times, you know, when some gave an evil report and a couple of them gave a good report. Yeah, but I want to read something out of all of that to see what, you know, some of them said, a couple of them, Caleb and Joshua. In Numbers 13 and verse 30, this is the story of the 12 spies returning, and 10 of them saying one thing, and only two of them saying something positive. Well, let's pick out some of the positive declaration in Numbers 13 and verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, well, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, this is possessing the gates of your enemies, just like God said to Abraham. And this man, he believed, he said, we know we can do it. Let's go up and do it at once. Well, may this be your declaration in 2025 and say, I know I can do it. I'm going to go up at once by the Spirit of the Lord, and I will possess. Hallelujah. For we can well overcome all the challenges along the way. Praise the Lord. So that's a determination that was in the heart of Caleb. And we see that a similar determination was in the heart of Joshua as well. And Joshua would make his own declaration in the next chapter, Numbers 14. We see from about verses 6 through 9 what Joshua himself said. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes, because they were hearing all the people saying that, well, we're going back to Egypt, you know, isn't it better for us to return there than to die here, and all that stuff. You know, they wanted to go back, make us a captain, and all that, to go back. So these two guys, they rent their clothes, and they said to the people, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now, what kind of report will you have for 2025? Are you going to report the thorns or the roses? Will you be reporting the half empty glass or the half full glass? Now, remember that 12 people went and 10 of them gave an evil report, but 2 of them gave a good report. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, there are some creatures in God's creation that are going to report something to the Lord here. Now, it will be interesting for us to note what they report. I want you to take careful note, you know, of what they report. Because they hear, they said, we see seraphims that had 6 wings, 2 wings were used for flying, 2 wings they cover their face with, 2 wings they cover their feet, and so on. And in verse 3 of Isaiah 6, one of them cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, this is what the seraphims chose to report. It's what they chose to see. I guarantee you, you know, that there was wickedness all over the earth at this time. Yet, they said the whole earth is full of his glory. Now, what is going to be your report of 2025? You know, what kind of report will you bring? There's also a report that we read in Zechariah chapter 1. You know, there were some alerters and different things, you know, that God sent, and they came back. It said in verse 11, you know, I mean, he asked the question, who are these? And so forth. Well, he said, well, these are the ones that the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. That's in verse 10. And then in verse 11 of Zechariah chapter 1, the angel of the Lord, he said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth. I mean, these are God's alerters and patrollers. They go out, they check things out, they come back and tell the Lord. Now, not that the Lord needs anybody to tell him anything, but he likes to keep these things, and this is servants and creatures occupied. So they, you know, they have a sense of ownership. God doesn't need to be told anything. He knows everything all, but he gives them opportunity to go out, do something, come back, tell me. You know, so he said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Well, I guarantee you, the earth was not sitting still and the earth was not at rest. There's a lot of trouble everywhere. But the realm in which they are, this is what they chose to see and they chose to report. Now in 2025, what will be your report? Will it be, and God forbid, that it be like those 10 that said the land is full of giants and it eats up the inhabitants thereof and we are grasshoppers? Let that not be your report. But let your report be like this that we read in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 to 9, where these two gentlemen said, these two warriors, I should call them that, they said, look, we are well able, ha, glory to God, we are well able to go and possess the place. Hallelujah. You know, so in 2025, make that your declaration. Because God said, you know, God already given to them. You know, and God will make you, give you the ability. He said, the land which we searched, went through to search it, is a land that is exceedingly good. And if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. That's a possession. You know, give it to us. A land that's flowing with milk and honey. You know, so now only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Hallelujah. Gonna have them for lunch. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. You will not fear them. You know, and so on. Now, so make that your declaration for this year. The Lord has said that you will go in and possess the gates or even of your enemies. So do it. Hallelujah. You are able to do it. Praise the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2, verse 24, the Lord would remind them again that he wants them to go in and possess. You know, just remember we read yesterday in Deuteronomy 1 and 6, where the Lord said, look, you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. You go in now and take possession and do something. Well, here again, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, you know, verse 4, we're told, rise up and take your journey and pass over this river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto your hand Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Now, when somebody gives something to you and you have it in your hand as possession, you know, so go in. Begin to possess it. Hallelujah. And contend with him in battle. Now, ladies and gentlemen, 2025 will be the beginning of possession, a year of possession, but it'll come with battles, but you have to contend. He said, go in, begin to possess. You may not possess everything all at once, but you begin to possess and you contend in battle. So we're going to contend in battle. You're going to begin to possess. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to drive them out from before you. Now, the day you stop contending in battle, well, enemy will gain back the grounds that you may have recovered. Remember that every day. Enemy is fighting. He's not going to give up. You know, he's going to keep fighting. So must you. You got to keep fighting. You got to contend with him in battle. But you begin your possession in 2025. You claim the ground. As soon as you claim the ground, you put your banner there. You put the flag. I got this place. And then you gain some more ground and put your flag there. Hallelujah. That's what they do when they conquer territories. You know, and then you move on and you, but you must contend because the enemies, they're not going to give up easy. You know, when someone is sitting on their goods, Jesus said in Luke 11, he said they're sitting pretty and they think everything is secure until a stronger than he shall come upon him, spoil him, and then, you know, waste and capture his goods. So we must go forward this year to possess, but it'll come with battle. You have to contend in battle, but the Lord is commanding you. Your commander in chief is giving you the command to go in and begin to possess, but continue contending in the battle. I can't say it any clearer. This verse is perfect. It says it all. You know, so that's what it will be for us. And if you continue to see a land full of milk and honey, a land of roses, you will continue to contend. Those that see a land full of giants and themselves are grasshoppers and a land full of thorns and briars, they will say, well, we can't do it. You know, but that will not be your portion in 2025 in Jesus' name. Amen. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 11. And the Lord, you know, many times he had to remind them of these things, you know, and, Moses coming back and telling them also, you know, he said, and the Lord said unto me, Deuteronomy 10:11, arise, take thy journey, you know, before the people, that they may go in, hallelujah, and possess the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them unto it. You know, but you can't stay in one place. We talked about that yesterday on our expansion. You know, when you have covered the one place, well, if you don't move, that's all you will have. You know, you got to cover some more ground. Praise the Lord. You know, so this is the lesson, commandment that the Lord is giving us for 2025. We'll go forward and possess. Now, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, we read in our crossover service from Joshua chapter 3. You might remember that on December 31, Joshua chapter 3, how the priests that bore the ark, you know, had to go before the people and so forth. And the message was the ark will go before you. But here was the commandment in Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read the first four verses of Joshua chapter 1. This is directly in line with this command to go in and possess. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. You know, it's pretty much the same thing God told Moses. Arise and go over this Jordan. Now, they've gotten so close now. All that remains is Jordan. They passed through a lot of places. You know, and when you cross over Jordan, then you are going to, you know, get into the lands of all these seven nations and get rid of them. You know, now, you know, thou and all these people unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. You know, now, give to you is means you are going to possess it. Now, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon that I have given you for a possession. From the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down the sun shall be your coast. So God is laying it out, giving you all this place, you know, go in, be of good courage and so forth, and go in and get the land, divide it to them for an inheritance and so on and so forth. This was the charge that was given to Joshua. And this book of the law, which Moses gave you, shall not depart out of your mouth. But you meditate upon it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do everything that's written therein. You know, and that's how you're going to make. For then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Talk about that more later on. But this commandment here is for you to go in and possess. Begin to possess, but stay in the battle. Stay in the fight, because there's going to be a fight for it, you know, and that's what happens in a war, you know. After each battle, so we want each side will regroup, come back. They try to regain what they lost. This one continues to try to push forward, the other one trying to contain them, and so on and so forth, you know. So we must do as our commander in chief has commanded us. Go forward and begin to possess or repossess. Praise the Lord. In the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 17, there's only one chapter in that book. Anyway, there's a clear declaration for us that I declare unto you also. Under this declaration of the possession, the year of possession, here's what it says in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read it carefully. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Well, I mean, if it was your possession, how come you didn't already have it? Well, you know, sometimes people don't have what is theirs. They might have been given, but they don't have it yet. So they got to get up and get it. You know, it's kind of like in the book of Revelation chapter 5, you know, this is the culmination of all things being given to the Christ, you know, and now he's going to get up and take possession. I mean, we see that there was one that sat on the throne and in his hand was a book. In the right hand was a book. Had seven seals. John noticed that. And he knew that there was the book. A book has writings inside. A book is not a book if it has nothing on the inside. So he knew. And he wanted so badly to know the contents of that book, but nobody was found worthy to do it, to open the seals or to read it, not even to look upon the book. And when he began to cry because of that, someone told him, "Weep not, we found someone that had prevailed to open the book and to lose the seals thereof." Ha! And so now this figure that has prevailed, all these things were given to him, but hasn't quite yet taken possession. But now he's going to take possession. Praise the Lord. He's going to get up there and take the title deed for everything. Hallelujah. Everything. He's going to take it now. And, you know, finally, we're told in Revelation 11 and 15 that all the kingdoms of this world, will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he'll take possession. And the saints will take possession too. I'm going to read that to you in a minute. You know, so there are some things that we may have, but which we haven't taken possession of. Well, the Lord said, begin to possess. Hallelujah. In 2025. But stay in the fight. Don't let the devil take the fight to you. You take the fight to him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we must begin to take possession. Now, part of that also is there's a promise from the Lord that, look, there are some things that I gave you that the enemy has taken from you, but now I'm going to make sure he doesn't do that anymore. You know, in the days of Gideon, you've heard us, me talk about his story multiple times in Judges. I mean, the Midianites used to bully them, oppress them, wait for them to thresh the wheat and do all these things, then come in and bully them, take it all out of them after all they've done all the labor. So they were hiding in caves and different things to make sure that didn't happen. Gideon was also hiding in caves when the angel of the Lord found him. And, but here in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 8, this is a promise that you can take for 2025 under this declaration of possession. There is a guarantee that the Lord gives us as well. And he puts it out, you know, with an oath. Well, God doesn't need to swear by anything. You know, if it says it, it's done deal. He doesn't need to swear. But, you know, when he does put it out by a seal, I mean, an oath, my goodness, you know, then you can, I mean, take that to eternity, if you want to say, call it that. Here's what he said in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand. Now visualize God flexing his right arm like this. And I said, well, who can arm wrestle the Lord? You sit across the table from him and arm wrestle him down. Can you do it? Nobody can do it. You know, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. You know, he's ready to arm wrestle anybody. You know, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. Well, you know, actually, unfortunately for the children of Israel, because of their stiff-neckedness and so forth, the Lord actually gave them up many times. You know, that's why he said, my great army, which I sent among you, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, the locust, and so forth. You know, God sometimes allowed them to be devoured because of the rebellion of their hearts. But when they turn to the Lord, then the Lord will remember his mercy and his oath and his covenant to their fathers, and he will save them. You know, but now he said here, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, I will no more give thy corn. So that was a time that the Lord actually gave the enemies permission to go eat their corn because of their rebellious heart. But the Lord said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And for you, beginning in 2025, you can say amen to this promise. I will not let the enemy take thy corn. You know, neither the sons of the stranger take thy wine for the which you have labored. You know, any of those Midianites are not going to come down on your threshing after you've done all the labor. No, not anymore. But what you have labored for, he said, those that have gathered it and have labored for it, they will eat it. If you have gathered it, you will eat it. And you that have brought it together, you will drink it in the courts of my holiness, saith the Lord. So beginning in 2025, the Lord put an oath on it. Enough of that already. You know, I mean, you work hard and then the enemy puts, you know, a hand in it. And it's almost like you put money in a bag of holes. You know, as you are earning paychecks, you're using it to fix problems. No more. The Lord said, you know, in 2025, I will not give your corn to be meat for your enemy or the devourer. You know, that's the enemy, really. But the Lord said, look, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The Lord will rebuke the devourer. Now, the devourer is one such as those Midianites that they wait for you to do all the labor and then come in there and take it away from you. That's the devourer. Praise God. But the Lord said, no, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Are you ready for that kind of blessing? And I will rebuke that devourer for your sakes. Hallelujah. That's the one I'm going for. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, or he shall no more destroy. He was doing it before. He was destroying. He was having a field day. But the Lord said, I will now rebuke him. I will put spiritual handcuffs upon him. Hallelujah. He won't be able to do it. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before her time. You know, everything is going to now work for you, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. You know, so this is the blessing that the Lord is bringing for us. That's Malachi 3 verse 11, by the way, that the Lord is bringing unto us. Now, let's talk some more about possessing even the things of the kingdom. Now, some people might think that a message such as this is only for material things. No, absolutely not. It's for everything. I mean, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, he said, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What kingdom? You know, I mean, if it is his good pleasure to give us, did he actually give it to us? Or are we still waiting? Well, let's find out whether he gave it to us or we're still waiting. In the same Luke, but this time in chapter 22 and verse 29, Jesus made this declaration. Remember, first he said in Luke chapter 12 that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he's, you know, told them to preach the kingdom. Kingdom is here and so on and so forth. And for several years, he was teaching them principles of the kingdom. Now, in Luke chapter 22, he's getting ready to go to the cross, getting ready to leave now. And he's going to tell them about this kingdom that he has been talking about all along. And what is he going to say here? In Luke 22 and 29, he said, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed unto me. So finally, we see that he's gotten a hold of this kingdom and he's going to give it to us. And he has actually given it to us. But we have to begin to possess. Now, let's read some lessons or some prophetic revelations out of the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we see that in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel was interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You might also call it the dream of Daniel, because Daniel had to dream the dream over again. And he interpreted it, and you saw how, you know, a stone cut out from the mountain without hands. It was small at first, but it grew to, you know, become something, a mountain that filled the whole earth. How it would smash that image, and so on. Now, that was Daniel chapter 2. Then in Daniel chapter 7, we read the following. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. Let's read how that God will eventually transfer. Now, this is a transfer of wealth and a transfer of, you know, kingdom principles. The knowledge of the kingdom will coming back to the people of the kingdom of God. You know, we've lost that knowledge and we've lost that training, but it's coming back. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18, he says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Well, now, where do they take this kingdom? Remember, at this point in time, he was talking about, you know, all the things that he saw. You know, he said, I beheld until thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit. These are the things he saw. But before that, he also saw, you know, four great beasts that came out of the sea, divorced one from another, lion, eagle's wings, and all of these things. And he, you know, saw a second beast, like a bear, and then a third and a fourth. And, you know, this again, these were kingdoms that would arise, you know. And then he said, look, as I was looking, I even saw, a stout fellow and so forth, you know, a mouth speaking great things. And he saw all these things. And then I beheld until thrones were cast down and at the Ancient of Days did sit, you know. So, and then he began to show that the saints of the kingdom of God, the people of the kingdom of God who actually take the kingdom, you know. He said in verse 18, you know, I saw that the saints of the Most High took the kingdom and possessed the kingdom forever and forever. So that time is coming. Well, let's read verses 21 to 22 and 27 to 28 of the same chapter. In verse 21, remember he said, I saw that the saints took the kingdom. Well, he also said in verse 21, he said that, look, I beheld, you know, and this little horn, he made war with the saints and prevailed against them. You know, sometime, you know, that will happen. But the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Well, it looks like, you know, if I look back on 2024, it looked like the little horn has made war against the saints and try to wear us out. You know, we run into, you know, things and people lost loved ones. You know, we had multiple accidents. We have this and that, you know, it just like, looks like this were just, you know, try to wear out the saints, you know, but finally the Lord said, look, the time has come. Glory to God. There is a changing of the guards. Basically, said the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion, consume it and destroy it until the end. You know, he said, look, the judgment will sit. This is what God will do. He's trying to wear out the saints. He's trying to do all these things, but the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, 2025 is the beginning of the year of possession. You know, so the possession year, it starts for you in 2025, you know, and, you know, we're going to dish out what the devil's been dishing out. Praise God. Black eye to the kingdom of darkness. And the saints are going to get into position. Saints are moving into position. Position is so key with possession. God's going to bless us, but we got to be in the right place. And God's giving us understanding of positioning along with this possession. Praise the Lord. You must understand where you are. Where are you positioned? Well, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are positioned. You know, we're not, you know, look, even though it looks like you are here on earth, forget that. You know, Jesus was standing in John chapter 3 and verse 13, standing on the earth, talking to Nicodemus and saying the Son of Man is in heaven. He was in two places at once. He was right there talking to Nicodemus and also saying, well, the Son of Man is in heaven. Now, how do you do that? Well, the same way that, you know, we are here on the earth, but, you know, we are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places already. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, verse 6, that God has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places inside Christ, not with Christ, but in Him. Hallelujah. So we can't be moved. Now, if you are sitting with Him, you might be moved. You know, He may move and you may not move with Him. You know, but when you are in Him, well, where He goes, you go. Hallelujah. So we are in Christ. That's where we are positioned. We are positioned. You know, we're now positioned, you know, far above principality and power. That's where Christ is seated. And when we are inside of Him, you know, that's the lesson about the positioning. I'll speak more about that, you know, as we get through the rest of this series. You know, but right now we must understand that we are in Christ. Same thing we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. You know, Christ is above all. He has been raised above all. He's been raised far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's Christ. Ephesians 1, 21. You know. But then He comes around in Ephesians 2 and tells us that we are in Him. Now, He's the one that got the victory. We just came along for the ride. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, He's already done it. And if we are in Him, then we got the same benefits. Not only are we heirs of God, but joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ has, we got, because He got it. And we are in Him, so we got it too. So that's our positioning. You know, we're positioned. You don't see yourself as weak and beggarly, you know, and so on. No. See yourself as sons of God, as you are. You know, that's really who we are. Now, that knowledge has been lost, but it must be returned. You know, we must repossess the knowledge of the position that God has given us in Christ. Lastly, Daniel 7, out of that chapter, Daniel 7, verses 27 and 28. That chapter is a powerful, powerful chapter to show you what will happen at the end. And also in verse 27, he says, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Now, this is kingdom under the heaven. Heaven is above, heaven rules, but under the heaven, that's on the earth right here. You know, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High God, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. And we are the ones that are going to hold the rod of iron and make sure everybody obeys. Now, people can obey the Lord willingly now, or they're going to do it by the rod of iron. One way or another, every knee will bow to the Christ. Those of us who have willingly bowed the knee to the Lord will have the opportunity to have the rod of iron. According to Psalm 149, this honor of all the saints. You know, the high praises of God are in their mouth, and they have a sharp two-edged sword in their hand to bind the princes and bind them with fetters and so forth. This honor is given to the saints. And finally, he said, herein is the end of the matter. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 28. That's it. That's the end. I mean, he saw a series of visions, but he ended with the people of the saints of the Most High taking the kingdom. Now, that's possessing or repossessing. What was given in the beginning to Adam and he lost, but we come full circle. And so this possession comes not only for material things, but more so even for spiritual. We're going to now begin to have a clear understanding of the things of the kingdom. And Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, there is something about the kingdom of God, you know, which was lost. But from that time, we're beginning to understand it, Jesus said. And the violent are now going to take it by force. You know, that's what God was telling them in Deuteronomy 2 and 24. You're going to begin to possess, but you must stay in the battle. Contend in the battle. It's not going to, look, God's already done it, but the devil is not going to hand it over. That's it. You know, not without a fight. You know, so, but we must stay in the battle. The violent, those who have the force of spiritual arms with them, we are going to take the possession of the kingdom. To take the possession, it means understanding the things of the kingdom, the deep things that are couched, that have been hidden. Understanding is now coming. We're going to see our position. We're going to know who we are. We're going to see how we are placed in Christ. And we begin to understand, you know, what the Lord has given us. I mean, Jesus showed us many of it, you know, and then we begin to recognize that Jesus said the same thing. The works that I do, John 14 and 12, the same can you do, you know, and you have more opportunity to do much more than I did because I'm leaving, but you are still here because I go to the Father and you're still here. You have plenty of time to do more than I did. Hallelujah. Greater works than these. Glory to God. Now that's going to be our lesson for today. You can see how long time we spent on this possession. That's just P. I thought I might do P and A today, but, but that's just P. But I have determined by the grace of God to take my time in this lesson, declaring this, the word of the Lord for 2025. I'm going to take my time, make sure it comes across clear. And that's going to be it for today. Tomorrow we'll tackle the A, and maybe the I, I don't know, however the Lord leads. But today we have covered the P, which stands for possession. But along with possession comes positioning. You know, when you know who you are, you know, like I've often said, and Paul was teaching us in Galatians 4 about the little kid who was born into the kingdom, was born under the monarchy. He's the prince. He's the possessor of all things. The prince is the coming ruler who owns everything, but he doesn't know who he is at first when he's a baby. He's no different from a servant because he doesn't even know. You know, sometimes even the servant is better. You know, one time in Luke chapter 15, this man, the story we call prodigal son. One time after all the mess that he put himself into, he actually said, the servants in my father's house are better than me. Because I'm here languishing away. The servants, they've got shelter, they've got food, the square meals, and they got this and that and so on. You know, so the same thing, a baby. The servant is actually better because the servant can still reach out and get something. Baby doesn't know anything. But eventually, when that baby comes to recognize his positioning, the moment he figures out that I am the prince and I'll look out, you know, so he's got to figure it out. And the father has put tutors, instructors, martial artists, trainers, lawyers, philosophers to teach him, you know, who the allies of the state are, who the enemies are, you know, teach him combat, teach him all these things, get him out of bed early in the morning, even if he doesn't want to do it, and so on and so forth. You know, but one day, he's going to figure out that I am the prince. And the moment he figures it out, walks up to the father and says, I am the prince. Yeah. And the father says, yeah, that's my boy. You're ready now. You know, and he's going to put all those tutors out. Nobody is coming to tell him anything after that. Now he has figured out that he's the prince. I'm going to put them all out. They can't come in and wake him up when he doesn't want to wake up anymore. He's now the prince. Now he knows who he is. And the father says, yep, he's ready now. Praise the Lord. So that's part of the positioning. In order for us to know, you know, to do these things, Daniel 11:32 says it, that people that do know their God, well, shall be strong and do exploits. We know our God and we know whose we are and we know where we are seated with him. And we know what he has committed into our hands. That's why we're able to get the victory and regain that which was ours. I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to leave it there for today. That's it. So far, we have covered the R for release, the E for expansion or enlargement. And we'll cover the P today for possession and positioning too. But that's as far as we'll go today. You're going to have to come back and find out what the A and the I and the R and the S are for. Praise God. Now, Father, I thank you. I give you the praise and I give you the glory. Thank you for unction and the inspiration of the Almighty to deliver the word of the Lord for 2025 to your people. Now, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Or what is the Spirit saying? May you give us the understanding, Lord. Because the entrance of your word brings understanding. So, Lord, give us that understanding. Help us to see what you want us to see. Hear what you want us to hear. And perceive the hearts, what it is you're actually revealing to us. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. Now, therefore, let the hands of your people be strong. Now, let your hands be strong and arise and get up and go and possess that which the Lord has put into your hands in Jesus' name. But you must get up. You've dwelt long enough in this mount, in this one place, gone around in circles long enough. It's time for you to arise and go forward and take possession of that which the Lord already given you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So for every promise, everything that God has committed into your hands, which you have not obtained, either because you did not approach it with faith, or you approached it in fear, or doubt, or whatever the reason was, or maybe it wasn't quite time, but now the Lord said, it is time. Hallelujah. My word shall no longer be prolonged, but it shall now be done. And the zeal of the Lord will hasten it too. Now, therefore, let your hands be strong. Get up, arise, cross over, and possess in Jesus' name. And gain back things which the enemy has stolen. The devil took a young kid from the flock as a lion. He came in and took it. You go after, you get it back. Devil came in as a bear, took a young kid from the flock. You go in, you get it. Go after him, you get it back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.